Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I have a couple of events coming up. I have the Fight for Your Dreams tour that will be in Detroit. That is March 10th. At the Regency Manor. You can find out information by visiting my website, www.arisebyvnp.com. And also an author, I have four books. The first book is From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. My second book is Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. My third book, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. And my last book I recently wrote a couple of months ago, it's called Unlimited Possibilities, The Roadmap to Restoration. I have my co-host with me, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
I'm telling you, it is great to be back on the air again. We took a break last week getting things together for that. And after we leave Detroit, we're going to Washington, D.C., April 13th at the Sheraton Washington North with the Fight for Your Dreams tour. And, you know, I have with me a special guest tonight, Wilford Brown, who's a entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and we're going to talk about how to implement your dream, how to get it started. A lot of individuals, they see their vision, they see their dream, but just don't know how to get it into the next gear. And Wilford Brown is going to share with us some practical tips on how to get to the next level. Wilford, are you there?
I'm here, Riley. Thanks for having me.
Well, so glad you were able to join me tonight. You've been in and out of the country lately.
Yeah, I've become somewhat of a jet setter and enjoying it, mind you, flying from here and all over the Caribbean. It's just been one thing after the other. I find myself more busier now than I was when I resided in the States, but I'm loving it. My wife's loving it. My kids are loving playing.
Well, that's how life is. I'm telling you, when you're on assignment, when you're on purpose, then things start to get busy for us and we get thrown into new territories, and that's what it's really all about, getting into new territories.
It might sound awesome, but sometimes it can be scary. So you have to know when you're going to make that move, that it's a God move, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're doing exactly what your assignment is, or whatever he impregnates you with, that's what you're embarking on. And this new journey or new phase of my life has just taken on a whole life of its own. And I'm thanking God for the opportunity to do some of the amazing things that I'm involved doing right now.
Oh, great. Well, I'm looking forward to some of those things you're going to share with us. You know, this is Black History Month. We have a lot of things going on in our community, and although, as I said so many times, people embrace this season and this dispensation that we're in as though it's the worst time that this world, this economy has ever seen, but it's not. It's actually the best of times for us to rise up and create and stir up that entrepreneurial spirit that we have. And also it's National Black HIV and AIDS Awareness Day as well. And throughout the month, we need to remember these things like domestic violence and cancer and AIDS. And, you know, I was really saddened last week when I got word that Don Cornelius, you know, passed away in the way he died. You know, and we have got to really embrace life and enjoy it for what it is and not expect too much of other people to make us happy. We've got to live our dreams, and when we live our dreams, we've got to live it full. And, you know, you do a lot of financial stuff, Wilford, and some of the things that individuals are going through right now are financial hardships. Can you share anything with listeners about some things that they can do if they're trying to start a business, how they can get access to some finances to get it going?
Well, the thing about business, I've seen people start business on a shoestring budget.
Yeah, like
me. You see, a lot of times we believe that we need to go get a loan from a bank to start a business. That's not a bad thing. But if you're not able to do that, you don't give up on your dream because of that you think the bank is never going to lend you the money because of your credit or whatever your reasons are. If you're truly impregnated with something that you need to give birth to, you will find a way. I remember when I was very young, and I decided I wanted to start my company. No one would give me a loan, not even a family member. So what I did, I started my company part-time. I had a full-time job that covered my bills, and out of my paycheck, I allocated a certain amount to go to the business. And I built the business for 2 years on a shoestring budget until I was able to launch out and make my part-time business my full-time job. So one of the things I encourage a lot of entrepreneurs, and let me say this about entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are the most motivated people I know.
Oh, yes.
We don't need any pick-me-up from anyone, you know. We're the type of people that will get up in the morning and we're off to the races, you know. We're out of the house like a shotgun. We're self-motivated. We're self-driven. Whatever is inside of us pushes us to strive and to go after it. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs who have seen the season we're in and decided not to. You know, I heard this comment. I hear this comment make a lot of times about not participating in the recession. That let me put it to rest. A lot of people, it's a sense of perception. And is how you perceive what you are facing. And it's a perception where you now have to become frugal with your money. You can't spend it freely as you used to. That doesn't mean that your lifestyle don't need some adjustments, but you make it where necessary. And as an entrepreneur, we know about adjustments. We know about being flexible. We know that our paycheck is written based on our efforts and our labor. So we're going to do whatever it takes to get our business going and to make sure that the funds come in to cover our monthly bills. And if you're an entrepreneur that wants to start a business, don't give up on your dream because you don't think you can get a loan from a bank or, you know, your credit is shot and because of that, you know, it's never going to happen. If you have a dream that is blocked by funds, it's not a big enough dream. Because I will tell you this, when you are an entrepreneur with a dream, that dream puts you to bed at night, it wakes you up in the morning, and whatever you have to do to make it work, you will find a way. So if money is your stumbling block, don't start it, because it's not big enough to motivate you to find a way around that issue. If you have to take it out of your paycheck, and I know some people would say, well, I have a family and responsibilities, I understand that. But if you don't put something down on paper as to what you're going to do, and that's something I tell every entrepreneur, write it down. When people write a plan, it doesn't have to be elaborate. You don't have to be calculating every dollar and every cent. And just write down, just put it down on paper of what you're trying to do and look at it and see if it makes sense. And the more you look at it, you start seeing ways you can tweak it, how you can make it work, how you can adjust it, how you can start. I know people who have started company with $500. I know people who have started companies on their credit card and have launched these companies into million-dollar companies. So they're no different from you and I. They don't have a special degree in economics and business or a special degree in how to handle money. They're just driven by the passion of doing the business. And so I encourage every entrepreneur, someone who's impregnated, it says that the best business is birthed out of a recession. You look at some of the biggest companies today was birthed out of a recession. So I have an article on one of my sites that says, don't let a good recession go to waste. Find a way. Become creative. I think that's one thing I see lacking in today's society when it comes to entrepreneurs or people who are starting a business. We're not creative anymore. We're looking for answers everywhere versus looking to ourselves for the answers. you know, examine what we're looking at and check ourselves, see how good our creativity we can be. Because if it means that much to you, guess what? You will find a way. And I will live an example.
Absolutely. You will pick up and you will fight. You will fight for your dreams. That's one of the reasons why I created that tour, was because a lot of individuals, they're not relentless. They give up too easy. They're not passionate about what it is they want to do. And one of the things I like what you said was, if your dream is based on finances or your business is based on finances, then it's not a big enough dream.
No, you need money to run it. Don't get me wrong. You need money to run your business. But it shouldn't be the thing that's a stumbling block out of your, you shouldn't be the thing that trips you out of the stumbling block.
Right.
You see, here's something that's going on. In the society we live in, we're in a fear-driven society.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, everybody's worried about everything. And you need to be concerned. You don't need to be stupid now. You need to be smart about something. You gotta look at where you are. If you realize you want to start your business, start budgeting the finances that you have. There's an old saying that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Examine your finances. Find out you're going to cut costs. I want to save some money towards my business. I'm going to start cutting back on some stuff. I'm going to stop doing certain things. I'm going to start spending my money wisely. I want to start putting away a little bit every month for my paycheck. $100 for my paycheck in a special fund. That will help me to launch my business. You can start launching your business from home part-time. The internet has become a great tool for people to launch their business for little and nothing. And there's multiple stories out there of people who have done that and have become phenomenally successful.
Absolutely. I have an internet business that individuals can do, and they can join for free. They just simply need to log on to unveilingsecrets.com, unveilingsecrets.com, and there is a free business that they can get into and build from there and get some financial footing and also learn how to work the internet a lot better than what they do right now. When I started my business over 16 years ago, I left my job, and all four of my children were still in school, and I had one paycheck. I had paid up all my bills for the month, and I left work that Friday with one paycheck. And I'm glad now this is not for everybody, and things are different, a lot different now than they were back then. But I knew that I had to make it happen. I knew I had to make it work because of the fact that the timing I felt was right for me. And like I said about being relentless, I knew it was a no-holds-bar thing. I was not going to fail. Failure was not an option. So I pulled out all the stops. I had a plan. Just like I said, you got to have a plan. You got to write it down, what it is that you tend to do in those steps, and stick to it. And if you're going to be an entrepreneur and do a home-based business, you have to get up, brush your teeth, wash your face, get dressed, and act like you're going out somewhere to work and punch a clock every day, and you dedicate that time to actually working. And that's one of the things that people fail to do. They'll sit down and say, oh, well, I don't have a job, and only commit maybe 1 or 2 hours to their dream, to their vision of making it happen. You got to spend more time in building a business than you would on a 9-to-5 job.
Here's something you said that I love. Failure is not an option. People don't realize that they're the ones who put the word failure on the table. Nobody else did. If you start your business, you never started to fail. There's no such thing as failure. If it didn't work one way, you don't give up the business because of that. You find another way. You really didn't fail. You just found a way it didn't work. That's why I love the old quote from Edison when they asked him how he feels to fail so many times before he got the light bulb. He said, I've never failed. He just found other ways it didn't work. And a lot of us get discouraged and beaten down by what we hear from the media or the statistics we're reading or what other people are saying about things. And to me, life should be an adventure. At the end of your journey, you must say, at least I tried. If you didn't, if you get get to that journey, you didn't try. You never lived. And so if you have the passion, here's something. I'll give you a good example. There's five questions you need to ask yourself if you're going to start a small business or any business for that matter. You must ask yourself why you're doing it. If you can't answer the why, then you never find out how. Why are you doing it? You know, is it something you love to do? Is it something that you think about daily? You impregnated with this concept or this idea to be entrepreneur. So I've always heard this comment, and I've never got like when it says owning a home is an American dream. I've never believed that owning a home is an American dream. Owning a home is a bill. Being an entrepreneur is not a dream. I tell everybody all the time, I said, owning a home is not a dream. It's a bill that you have to work 30 years to pay off.
Wow.
Being an entrepreneur is the American dream. That, for me, is the American dream. And whenever you can become that entrepreneur, the day you start your company, because if you start it full-time or part-time, you are an entrepreneur. How far it goes is going to be based on the effort you put in the business and how much you believe in it. Because if something you believe in, you don't start today and quit tomorrow. If it takes you the rest of your life to accomplish it, you go at it. Because the fun of doing it will ignite you to the point that you will go to bed every day thinking about it and get up every morning excited about doing it. So the first thing you got to do is ask yourself, why am I doing it? Secondly, what's the plan? The plan is how you're going to start. You know, what is a business? How are you going to start it? Who is your target market? Who would like what you're selling? Do you like what you're selling? Because I've always believed that if I can't sell me, I can't sell anybody else. If I don't love what I'm doing, nobody's going to love what I'm doing. But people are buying it based on my response to the very thing that I'm introducing to them. So you got to come to that. You got to believe in your vision. You got to believe in your project. You got to believe in your purpose. Whatever it is, you have to believe. If you don't believe in it, nobody will believe in it. Simple as that. And the next question is, am I willing to commit to the vision? Now, the day you can answer that question, then you've just started on the road to where you're going. Because the commitment you decide to put into it is going to decide how far you go and how much you make from it. Because if you're saying, hey, you know something, I'm going to start this. I know I'm in this position, but what is it going to take to start it? Because here's the issue with a lot of us. We never know, sometimes we don't even know how little it takes until we write it down. And when you write it down, you see the plan. You say, okay, I might work 8 hours a day, but I'm willing to put in an extra 2 hours. When I was doing my company and I was having a full-time job, my job started at 9 in the morning, finished at 5 in the evening. My part-time company, I worked it in the lunchtime and after work. I was at home in my home office from 5:30 in the evening until 10 o'clock at night, 10:30. 7 days a week I did this until I was able to move the company from a part-time job to make it my full-time. I fired my boss.
Mm.
And that became passion. My passion drives me for what I do. And I knew what it was to be an entrepreneur. And I loved it. My biggest fear was a friend of mine asked me, he said, how are you going to pay your bills? Because you know that nobody's going to pay you. You're going to pay yourself. So I decided really that my effort was going to be the thing that paid me. And so I put every effort I have in my business, and it became a success. And I have owned multiple companies over here. My companies have evolved from nothing to great things, and I'm still excited even today about what I do. I go to bed thinking about it. I wake up every morning thinking about it. I have more passion now after 20-odd years being an entrepreneur on my own, more now than I was when I was in my early 20s doing what I do. Because I've seen the success of it. I've been at the top of the mountain, and I've fallen, and I've gotten back up and rebuilt it again.
Wow.
And to have that passion about what we're going to get into. Your passion should move you to action. You should feel strongly about your purpose or your dream, or you'll never accomplish it.
Absolutely.
It's not about money. I can give you all the money in the world, and you fail at it. But if you're passionate about it, trust me, you'll move mountains if you have to get it done.
Yeah, it is true that a lot of people fail their way to success. You know, it's, you know, people feel that when they come out of the gate that everything will be boom, 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 because, oh, they're excited and they got somebody in their corner cheering them on, saying, you can do it, you can do it. And then when the wind blows, they start, the leaves start shaking, and then they lose hope, they lose faith. But the thing is, it's when you get up and you keep it moving because of the fact that you believe beyond belief that this is your assignment, this is your purpose, this is part of your destiny, this is what's going to take you from one level to the next, then you'll be fortified to go on to the next step. Failure is okay. You just got to keep get up and keep on going, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like. I tell Shirley all the time, I said, I don't care what it looks like. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm working on my dream. She says, well, this is, I said, well, I got to keep it moving because I don't have time to stop. Time is of the essence. I've got to keep it moving because the moment that you stop and you look around and start thinking about what's not stable, then you become unstable.
Here's something I tell people all the time. When you decide your vision, don't be moved by the shifting of tides or the shifting of the wind. We tend to start something, and then when everything around us is like the same argument in the economy we're in, people start a business and decide, oh, it's not a good economy to start it in. Who said that? Some news reporter they listened to? Somebody else who don't want to start it, they give you a reason why you shouldn't start it either. Or somebody who just, you know, don't have a dream and happy with their 9-to-5 job. The time you spend listening to other people is time wasted. The only person you should be listening to is you. And when you decide to move forward, always look for sound advice. Get people around you that are motivated, people who are going somewhere, who are positive about what they're doing, who are not going to give you any negative comments, but is going to motivate you and help you to develop what you're trying to do.
Absolutely.
I have learned over the years that the reason I have succeeded with some of this, a lot of things that I've done, is not because I got some bright people around me. It's because no matter what I did, they encouraged me to get back up, get on a horse, and go again, regardless of the odds that were in front of me. All I did when I got back up, I thought about what I did, thought about what didn't work, make my adjustments. But you have to be flexible to be able to see what it is, learn from your mistake, make the adjustment, and keep moving so you don't make the same mistake again. If you're not learning from your mistakes, you're bound to repeat them. And that goes in business or any life. And you cannot be afraid to take a chance when it comes to business. And you never know when the opportunity, the one thing you say you won't do is the very thing that breaks open the door to floodgates for you to get the success you're looking for.
What do you say to those individuals that are living, putting on a facade that they've already arrived? They're like, they've bought into that lie, fake it till you make it, where they're spending money that they don't have because they want individuals to think that they've got it.
You can't. The fake it till you make it idea is taken out of context, and I'll explain that to you. You have to. If you don't believe you're going to make it, you'll never make it, because you got to believe that no matter what the obstacle is presented in front of you, you're going to pull through. You can't show that you'll be, even if you fall, it's never good to show defeat. So you're going to, your positive nature, your belief in your dream should pick you up, dust yourself off, put on a nice suit of clothes, and go at it again.
Mm-hmm.
The fake it till you make it routine is almost, there's a scripture verse that says, when you pray, believe it has been done and it shall be done. And I've always said to people, it's a great scripture verse, and I believe in it, but you have to really examine how you're doing this. There's a methodology in doing business. If you are a salesperson, say, in real estate, if you know your protocol for your business is to get up and you have well-groomed hair, dress into a nice suit, keep your car clean, and be presentable to all your clients, then be that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not faking it. You're making
right.
That's the protocol for your business.
Right.
Right? doesn't mean that you have to, because you don't have any money, you're not making any sales. You should look like a bum as a realtor, but nobody will do business with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not it. Every business has a protocol that goes with it. So if even if you're not doing very well, you don't come out of the protocol of your business. You stay within the confines of those, that protocol until you're able to. The making it is not the exterior part of it. It's the interior part of it where you have successfully made your sale and closed your deal and the money is in your bank account. Now, if I had $1 million in my bank account, nobody will know. And if I have $10 in my bank account, nobody will know, because the protocol for my business said I need to conduct myself a certain way, carry myself a certain way, talk to people a certain way. Don't speak defeat. Always speak positive. Talk about success and always have a plan. Now, that's not faking it. That's the business protocol. So when people are not going beyond, above and beyond, spending money they don't have,
mm-hmm.
trying to buy a car they can't afford, put themselves in an over amount of debt that they cannot maintain, then you are being foolish, because you know you can't maintain it. You got to think practical.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a 3,000 square foot office and your business is not going well, and you're feeling if you can, business sense that let's downsize to a 1,000 square foot office. Not because you go to a smaller office, you stop wearing a suit or you stop acting professional. That should not change whether your office is 3,000 or 1,000. Once you continue functioning within the protocol of your business, then people will know you're serious about what you do. And even if your economy is saying that we're in a bad economy and things are not happening or things are not going right, they don't know that if you're doing well or not, because you're still acting professional.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing stuff today and then tomorrow morning the guys see that you can't afford it and you're losing everything, you're at the office and the tow truck driver pull outside and picking up the car you shouldn't buy because you know you can't afford it, or come to repo the furniture in the office because you went above and beyond your means. That's not being wise. That's being foolish. So the fake it until you make it mentality is basically people who are not thinking from a business perspective and logically to say, you know something? Yeah, I gotta be wise. I only can afford X amount. This is what my business is doing. But the professional conduct of my business will never change how I carry myself, how I talk, how I respond, how I feel about my business. I am excited about that. I've been in the real estate business for 20-odd years, and I lost a lot of things like everybody did. But I have rebuilt like most people did not, because I did not let what I lose dictate my outer response to my business,
mm-hmm.
or outer response to the anything else all around. I just chalk it up to the economy. I just chalk it up to the time. I chalk it up to whatever I felt like was important to chalk it up to. But it didn't affect my conduct. I didn't go around telling my clients, "Woe is me! Look what I lost! Look what happened to me! Look how the government destroyed the economy and they made me lose this and they made me lose that." No. I didn't do that. I chalked it up to some of them that I may have been overzealous. I take responsibility for what I think I've done. I have made some move where I over-anticipated what the bubble was going to do and what the economy was going to do. Now it has done what it was supposed to do. Let me make the adjustment. And since I have made the adjustment, things have been 10 times better.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm getting back everything that I lost 10 times over in a shorter period of time. And I have not lost my code of conduct. My clients still see me as a professional person. I speak positive. I speak with experience of a man who has been in this business before, who has fallen and got up, because falling doesn't mean failure.
Right.
Falling just means falling. I have not failed. I have been able to restructure and come back and be stronger than I was before. So you've got to really understand what you're into. When you get into any business at all, this is not to show off on people, "Oh, I'm a business owner."
Right.
That don't work. This is about your passion here. This is about giving birth to something that was in you that you want to live out. And it's been able to, this thing you've given birth is able to not only allow you to have a great sense of business, but he's been able to take care of your family, buy you a home, buy you a car, let you live a different type of lifestyle that you weren't able to live before. So there's no need for you to fake it till you make it. If you're going to fake it, the business you're getting into, you don't need to be in that business. You need to get out.
Yeah, we have to really get back into living within our means. And, you know, God bless our president, President Obama. I love him because, you know, he stands his ground. Yes, some of us did go and buy cars and homes we couldn't afford, but then there are some of us that did buy within our means, and we got caught up in the vicious cycle that was forced upon us where we had to make some decisions. But in those decision-makings where we had to let go of some things in order to gain, worth it. Because of the fact that it repositioned our thought process, because a lot of things we don't need anyway. We got materialistic things, furniture, stuff we don't need. My daughter said to me the other day, she says, Mom, you know, you got this house. You need to get something bigger. I said, for what? It's just me. She's like, well, you know, for what God is getting ready to do for you, you need something bigger. I said, I like my neighborhood. I like my house. And I said, bigger does not mean better. And I'm content because things don't define who I am. And I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm here to do service. And you can't do service if you're there spending money on things you don't need.
We are in a society that measures your success by the size of your house you live in, the car you drive, or the neighborhood that you live in. We like measuring in this society. We measure ourselves to the Jones. We measure ourselves to the next person. We measure our success in the industry by where we live and how or the car we drive. So even if you're not the best at the game, some people believe that I can pay attention to my making, I can go out and get myself a Mercedes and drive it, and that will tell everybody that I am successful. But a smart person, when he has a conversation with you, he will tell you that you are faking it, because the car is only can carry it so far and no more.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to know who you are and what you're doing. And you're right, your house shouldn't define you, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't live in a nice house, but do not overextend yourself, as you just said. Live within your means. You know, like this real estate crisis we're in, I'm in the real estate investment business 20-odd years, and I saw this coming, like most of us in the business saw this coming 5-10 years before it came.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting out with a lot of my colleagues, and we're looking at it, and we're anticipating, you know, how we think it's going to be, and everybody's doing their predictions and everything to go along with it. None of us, not one of us, predicted the magnitude at how bad this has gotten. None of us foresee that it would have been this bad. Even when the economists were saying this is what it is, we believe, based on the system that we live in here in the U.S., that there was enough stop gaps in place that even if there was a bubble, it would have been as major as it is, and we as a society wouldn't be able to correct it because of how large a society we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're 5 years into it, and we still haven't even seen the end of it yet. This has gone way beyond what any of us predicted, and has affected every one of us in more ways than one. And what I think that's why I've seen this happen, a lot of guys who have lost a lot, it has affected them so much that they were living so high that now they have to downsize to a smaller home or a smaller car. They're having mental breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking Prozac for stress and all type of stuff to go along with it because they have lost their lifestyle. Now, they have not lost their life. They're now losing their health because they're frustrated and they're worried about what they have lost. They didn't have anything internally that grounded them, other from the material things that they live with. They had the big house and the cars and everything to go along with it. I always remember people say, I didn't born rich. I didn't come with a boat spoon in my mouth. I know what poor is, and I'm from that place. And my grandmother always says to me, never forget where you're coming from, because it will ground you when the time is right. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that very thing now when I had to make the necessary adjustments and lose things and get rid of things and downsize to bring my lifestyle down to manageable where my wife and my kids and everybody could be comfortable, it didn't faze me. I just saw it as a correction of what was happening in and around our economy, and I became a part of the correction. And I had to do some correcting by myself. So when it was all said and done, I didn't lose my house, but my house was the extravagant 5,000 square foot home that I had to get rid of. And then I bought a beautiful home in a great neighborhood, and I'm still able to maintain. At the end of the day, a lot of the guys who was in the industry with me literally up and vanished. I ran into a couple of them on the street, but they've literally just, they're not the same person that they used to be because they have lost the house or lost the car. And I'm like, why? Because the car and the house defined them.
Defined who they were.
My car and my house doesn't define me for nothing. I'll give it up in a heartbeat. As long as I have God, and I can say this proudly and boldly, that God has been the defining person, thing in my life throughout the entire last 10 years of what has happened to a lot of us in the industry we're in. And because of my relationship with him, I've been able to weather the storm, rebuild, restructure my company, and come back bigger and stronger than I was before. And if it wasn't for that relationship, I wouldn't have survived like a lot of brothers who I've known taking their lives, who end up end up with stroke and end up with all types of disease and illness because of the worry and stress that came along with losing what they had.
Mm-hmm. Which brings to the question, what are you willing to give in exchange for your dream? Are you willing to put in the time, put in the work, or are you willing to succumb to what's going around in society when God has actually called you out from amongst them to make a difference, to be a change agent in the planet? And that just goes back to that core of defining whose you are more so than who you are.
Here's a question a lot of people ask. When they talk about purpose, I tend to ask them, because I hear the bishop ask the question, who called you? Because who called you will decide how much effort you put into it. If this is a fantasy you have and it looks good in your head, I think you should keep it in your head and keep imagining about it. But if it's something that moves your heart and you know that God has truly called you for this, I'll give you a good example. Here are six questions I always tell people to ask themselves if they know they're moving into the right direction. Here's a good exercise for people to do, and I've done this with a lot of people before. If you really want to know that the business you're going to is a business that is for you or you're made for the business and you'll be successful at it, ask yourself, what's the one thing you love to do? And if you have to do it, what's the one thing you love to do for the rest of your life? That's one good question. Or what are you naturally good at? If I were to ask, I tell this to somebody and they did it the other day. I said, find your 5 or 10 of your best friends, and ask them point blank, if someone were to come to you and say, Valerie Parker, what be the one thing they'll say about you? The one word they will use to define you is the one word you should build your purpose around. If you're the person, if you're a good listener, then find something because you love to listen and build your passion around that. If you're a person who loves to talk, find something that you love to talk about. Don't just talk about any and everything now. It doesn't work that way. Find something you like to talk about, something you could talk about for the rest of your life. If you're a person that's good with numbers and love math, find a way to build a business around numbers. Whether you want to open your own tax services or you want to, you know, help companies with accounting, if you want to be a consultant, find the problem that people have and figure out how to, that what you have you can use to solve it with.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out the answer for that question is already built in every single person.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend of mine years ago, she told me she loves to clean houses. She loves to have her house clean. She loves a clean home. And she started a business just cleaning homes and has done very well doing it. And she loves it. But she's been able to take care of her family, help her children, pay them to go to college, buy a nice home, even buy them cars from just cleaning homes. Because that, when you love something, you do it with such a passion that no one has to ask if you love it. They just look upon you and hear you talk about it and know you love what you do.
Mm-hmm. It's something that comes so natural, so easy, that it literally, like, takes your breath away with excitement, with joy.
It has to be able to... This thing will possess you so much, you think about it going to sleep and think about it first thing when you wake up.
That's it.
And the question would be, the question after that would be, how do I start it? How do I start it? Because that's where most people get stumped.
Mm-hmm.
The minute the word how I start it comes in, everybody has 9 million reasons why they can't start it. They don't answer why they can't. How do I start it? They start answering why they can start.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to prioritize everything around them, whether it's the husband or the kid, the reason why they can't start. That realize that the very husband and the very kid can be a part of the building of that dream. Because they would want to see you succeed also. So they will do whatever they can to help you to succeed. They're your biggest cheerleaders, your first fan base, your first set of employees. They'll help you. The very one thing you want to not, the very reason that you don't want to start is the very reason that you should start. For
mm-hmm.
your kids, for your husband, for your family. And they will be willing to help. I know wives will start, I know husbands will start a business, and the wife was the first employee, and she's helped to build a business from scratch. And I know you and a lot of women can talk about that idea where their husband had a business, and they worked twice as much in the husband's business as they work in their own job and build a business. I know a lot of people who can talk that.
Well, you know, most of my marriage was working the business with my husband at the time. And I worked a full-time job. And then from my job and after I got off from work juggling the children, I was helping him with his business, you know, because he was an entrepreneur. So I was working, helping him with his dream as well. So, you know, like I said, you know, you've got to, if it's something that you really want to do, you have to be relentless in the fight and know that it is part of your assignment and what it is in your life that you're supposed to do, and take that and build from it.
Here's something if this is for married folks. If your wife has a dream for husband and you don't have one, are you happy in the job you are? Take pleasure in helping her to have her dream come true.
Mm.
Help her to build that dream. Work with her. Ask her how you can help her. Do what you can. Promote it. Tell your friends. Whatever it is. Why is the same thing? If you don't have the aspiration to be an entrepreneur, your husband does, help him. I know wives who have been a bigger spokesperson for their husband's business than the husband.
Right.
She didn't have a desire business, but she loved the fact that her husband had the passion to do it, and went out and told all her friends. I was talking to one young lady the other day. Her husband wanted to be a masseuse, and she's the one who, when he was doing work, they were doing a full-time job, saved the money, put him to school, tell him to stop work, put him through school, bought all the equipment, helped him to buy all the equipment, everything, and her friends became his first clients.
Mm-hmm.
And he has now grown the business exponentially.
And therein is how you do it. Absolutely. Therein is how it's done.
One free advice I give to people, if you can eliminate fear, you can overcome anything. And fear sometimes is the biggest obstacle that a lot of entrepreneurs or first-time entrepreneurs have.
Mm-hmm.
They think they have to do everything right away to start it, and you don't have to. Do it small. Start on a shoestring budget. Do it part-time until you build it to where you know, and if you're comfortable that day, you can replace your full-time job with the part-time job. And fire your boss.
And you got to eliminate all excuses. You know, there are people that are saying, oh, I can't do this, and oh, this and that. They have all kind of excuses. But, you know, my dear friend Tawana Williams, she does a message on no more excuses. She was born without arms. And she gets out every day. She gets up, wash her face, brush her teeth, give herself a bath, get dressed on her own with no arms. And she built a successful business as a speaker. And she's written, let me see, Tawana's got one, two, three books she's written herself personally. So we got to eliminate the excuses.
We live in a society at one time. I think it's changing now. Where everybody believes that you should have a job and work, and you can get a pension, and retire and get your pension, and you're happy. I think we have seen that blueprint is thrown out the window. There's no such thing as pension, and so everybody is now rethinking their approach to how they view their jobs and how they view their future, how they want to prepare for it. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. You know, there's never one way, but find one that you are passionate about and work on it. If you're okay, you know, nothing wrong with it. If you're in a job you love and your passion is being fulfilled on the job and your purpose is being fulfilled on the job, be the best employee that person could ever have.
Absolutely.
It may be the situation where you're going to be the one that he's a promote to the position. And at the top level, I have a friend that years ago moved from Canada here. And when he moved here, he was burned out on his job. He was a social worker in Canada. He was burned out on his job, didn't want to do it again here, and decided to get a job as a painter. He thought for himself it was the most relaxing job he could find, that all it took was some sweat labor. That was it, nothing else. And he started working for this gentleman as a painter. This gentleman, he painted a lot of the shopping centers and apartment buildings and stuff like that. After about 4 or 5 years working for the gentleman. The gentleman called him in his office, one him and another guy, and told him that, I am retiring from the business. I've been in doing it, painting for so many years, and I want to make you an offer. Well, to be the long and short of the story is that the gentleman split the company in two. He gave my friend half of the company and gave the other gentleman half of the company, and gave them contracts that would keep them for the next 10 years that he had, with all these apartment buildings and shopping centers and everything. And that's what that's how my buddy started out in the business. He got the company. Because he loved it so much, he became one of the top painters for the job. The man could rely on him. The man could put him on a job and don't even have to go check the job, knowing that the job was going to be done well. He would manage the rest of the employees well. He was a perfectionist. He would be the first to show up on the job and the last to leave. Anything his boss wanted, he was there for him. He just gave it all because he fell in love with the painting. Mm-hmm. And the owner saw that and saw his passion and his dedication to him and the job, and decided that when he was going to retire, he was going to do something special for him and gave him half the company. That can happen to anybody. You don't launch on your own.
You know, that is absolutely true and absolutely right, Wilford, because it happened to me. I did greeting cards. I had my own greeting card company, and how that came about was I worked, first of all, I was the only African-American person there on the job that worked at a job, and I was the president's secretary, but I ran the company. So when he decided to close down the company and retire, he said to me, he says, you know, nobody has, you know, worked this company more than you. And he says, but unfortunately, physically, I just can't keep it up. He shut down the company, created a business for me, branded Faithfully Yours, which was the name of my greeting cards. He gave the trademark, paid for the trademark, set me up in an office for a whole year, rent-free, gave me operating funds, paid the phone bill, light bill, and everything, so that was my first full business that I became the president of. And that was because I was faithful. I worked their business and dedicated what I did as though it was my own. So when they retired, they gave me a business.
And that's what this is. You don't have to quit your job to start your passion. You can do it right on the job you're at and give it your best.
Give
especially
it your
if you
best.
Love what you do, give it your best. Stop getting into gossip and what he say, she say, and who's not doing enough and who's not should be coulda, woulda do more. No. You love what you do, put it out there. Let the God will reward you in ways that you I've seen kids. I can tell you stories after stories with that I've seen with other people. And I just compliment them because they've poured so much of themselves in the company. And when time came, they ended up with the company. Or they ended up with a position where they own a portion of the company.
Yeah, I had forgotten about it until you mentioned it. I had forgotten that it wasn't, you know, God has been so good. He's done so many great things. I had actually forgotten about that.
Now, listen, that's why nobody can convince me of anything at this point in my life where, you know, where entrepreneurship is concerned or where the power of motivation is concerned or when you step out on faith for something you truly love,
mm-hmm.
God will make ways for you way beyond what you think. And
absolutely.
That's why you can't go in a job with a negative. You know, attitude is everything. You can't do nothing with a bad attitude or because somebody else is not doing enough, you shouldn't do enough. No, it's not about that. Your success is not riding on what they do.
Mm-hmm.
How far you get is based on your attitude and what you put in. Because you're going to get exactly out of it what you put in. If the boss is horribly not treating you right, fine. Find another job if you want to. You know what I mean? If you wanna start your own business, then start planning it. Start putting it together. Start putting it piece by piece. But start. At least start. Don't just every day get up, you know, complain about everything around you and don't. Just start and see what happens. That's all we have to do. Just start.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow, this has been an awesome hour. Will, how can the individuals get a hold of you?
They can reach me by phone, actually. It's 954-296-7543, 954-296-7544. Oh, by the way, Valerie, my book comes out this year after all this time.
Oh, praise God.
I've been holding it back. It's called Forced to Achieve. And it documents a lot of the things that we talk about here and hopefully inspire people to make that move. It gives them a lot of insight and ideas of how to, you know, start their thinking process. But a lot of times we don't get out the block of our lives or the door of our lives because of how we are looking at things, our sense of perception, how we view it. We complicate our own walk. We build our own obstacles. People don't build them for us. We build them ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we have to learn to get them out of the way. And it's a simple adjustment we have to do. So this book is dedicated to people like myself who went against the odds and decided that they're going to do it their way and blaze a trail and have failed and succeed but still trying at what they're trying, still living the dream, still going after what they love with the passion. And that's,
mm-hmm.
And this book is designed for those people and give them insights and foresight as to how to do it. You don't need $1 million to do it. You can start on nothing and see how it unfolds.
Wow. Wow, I can't wait to get it.
I'll make sure you get your copy. Signed by me.
Yes, indeed. We got to have you back on the show once you get it out so we can promote it properly for you.
Yeah, for the publisher to finish now. My editor finished it, and she's more excited about it than I am, surprisingly. So as soon as we get all the logistics out of the way, in a month or two, you'll hear more about me, hear more about it.
Excellent, excellent. Well, as I said, this has been Hot Topics from the Soul, and my special guest, Wilfred Brown, has been on air, and his website is www.wilfredbrown.com. So, Wilfred, are you still helping companies with small loans?
Yeah, I do. I'm between here and the islands. I have a program now. If you're a small business, we're giving loans from $25,000 to as much as $300,000. It has nothing to do with your personal credit. There's a little bit to do with your business credit, and it doesn't have to be Dun & Bradstreet. It can be simple as a phone in your company's name or a lease in your company's name. Your company, by the way, has to have been in business 2 years and more. You must be actively in business as we speak. We've made it very simple, very easy for people who are looking to do that. And so if you're interested in a small business loan, give us a call at 954-296-7543, 954-296-7543, or the flower onto wolfandbrown.com. And there'll be things there you can look at and information. If you just give us a call, we'll be willing to answer any questions that you have and hopefully get you started on your dream.
Okay, and you said that you don't have to, it's not connected with your personal credit, because I know a lot of times when you try and get business corporate cards or anything, they always want and base it on your personal credit.
No, this has nothing to do with your personal credit. It has everything to do with your business credit. And it does not necessarily have to be a business credit that's on Dun & Bradstreet. You just have to show a history of being in business for 2 years and functioning. And the money is designed to help you maybe market, expand, buy a new piece of equipment to help you grow your business. It's really designed for business development. Some people are taking it. I have doctors who are looking to hire a couple extra people. I have insurance companies who are looking to open a new location or buy new equipment and so on and so forth. It's designed specifically for that. And so we have the funders that are committed to us, who have signed off with us, and we're doing. I announced this program about two weeks ago, and the first day I just put it out there on an e-blast to a couple of people that I know, and my computer's been inundated by people just sending their form. It's a very short form, just allowed to name company and a few small details, and so far we're doing pretty good at it. You know, we've been getting them the small loans. We try to get these loans done within 15 to 20 days after submission and submit it and go from there.
Now, you're here out of South Florida. Can they be in other states and take advantage of this opportunity?
Anywhere in the United States of America you can be. It doesn't matter where you are. It's designed that way.
Okay.
Anywhere in the country you are.
Now, I know also that you consult businesses, small businesses as well, and they can get that information off your website, wolfandbrown.com.
They can get on. We do a lot of small business consulting now. A lot of small businesses are looking to restructure themselves to move into the new economy that's been created now. And I think our economy is somewhat of bottomed out or leveled off, I should use a better word. And now most people are now restructuring, getting themselves in a position so when there's an upswing, they're ready for it. And the upswing can just basically mean that they have done well in the last year or so. They're hiring an extra employee. They're going and buying extra equipment or computers or whatever is necessary to help them market and promote themselves more. Some of them are getting into to learn about social media and how to promote their business on social media. There's little things that we help them with to sort of tweak them to help them to move along. But sometimes it's small businesses because it's run by one or two people. It's easier to tweak them. Sometimes the tweaking just comes from a different perception. That's to say, you know, something you're doing it this way, change it and try this one or add it to your repertoire. So it's not a major thing for small. The bigger the company is, the more employees, the more we have to do an assessment of the whole business and figure out if it's functional for what they have or do they need more people.
Thank you so much for that information.
We are wrapping up
another Hot Topics from the Soul, so if you want to contact Wilfred, you can go to wilfredbrown.com. That's W-I-L-F-R-E-D, Brown, B-R-O-W-N. .com, and he will be happy to assist you along the way. And thank you so much for visiting. And visit website www.arisebyvmp.com, where you'll be able to find out more information regarding the Fight for Your Dream Tour. Detroit is March 10th, and Washington, D.C. is April 13th, and you will find that on www.arisebyvmp.com. Thank you so much for joining, and have a great day. Good night.
Good night.